You guys can take a seat. Guys, just take a seat wherever you want and receive. I'm going to use my beautiful assistant real quick. More than an assistant wife. Absolutely. Raise your tongue about Jesus. But I asked Aaliyah earlier if she would be willing to sing Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. Oh, yeah. And so I'm like, she's like, Matt, no, I don't know. And then you start talking about it. I'm like, we got to do it, babe. So... Okay, so I have expectation tonight. I think God wants to do some good stuff. But I wanted to say, Calvin, Barb, Lee and I were talking, and I just wanted to thank you guys for allowing me to be here. And I realized that it's our privilege to be here. And we don't have all the experience in the world, and we're on this journey of life. And I'm sure a few years, few decades from now, we'll have more distilled, mature ways of saying things and communicating God's word. But just thank you for taking a risk on having us here and being humble enough to hear through some maturing vessels and welcoming us in your home. So just want to honor you guys and just say thank you. And it's our privilege and our pleasure to be able to be with you. So we love you guys. Are you ready, Leah? So, Father, we we acknowledge you're here, and we acknowledge your Spirit's here to do something. And we ask you, God, that you prepare every heart, every mind. If you want to put your hand on your heart, saying, God, feed me. God, fill me. God, speak to me. I love what you're doing with other people, but God, me tonight, speak to me. I'm hungry. I want you. I want you. I want you.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that comes through Douglas. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make Douglas whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes Douglas as white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Ilya. You guys just feel a calm sense of God's presence. Just want to pray in the Spirit with me. Would just bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Just bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. We worship you. There's no other family. It's just all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Just take your seat, God, on the throne of our hearts. Just take your place. So let every other idol fall and say, Jesus, be marvelous in our eyes. Come. 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 So, Father, we just welcome you as we begin to speak. I just ask, God, that you would do more than my words, that you would make this flesh in their hearts, and that, God, you would do something very sovereign. We give you glory, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I just felt really strongly in worship, just the phrase, believe again. And I just felt like God just quite simply said, Matt, share some of the promises I've given you and just with faith that some of the things God's spoken to me are something he's doing and wants to do through you. Some of these things might resonate with your spirit more than others, and pay attention to those particular things. Aaliyah, do you want to pray for me real quick, and then I'm going to share.
So, Father, we ask that right now you would give Matt the mind of Christ, that you would bring to mind things that he doesn't even remember right now, Lord, that he would be like, oh, yeah, that is something that God gave me, that there would be the big promises that he really wants to see happen, but also the little promises that that you would sustain him and things like that. So, God, we just ask right now that you would bless his talk, that this would be you plugging the heart of your children into your heart, God. In Jesus' name,
amen. Yes, amen. About 6 years ago, I remember driving to New Mexico, and we're on the way back from Kansas City, Missouri. There's a thing called the One Thing Conference that IHOP hosts, and so it was the first time we were ever at something like that. Prayer conference, like probably 15,000 people there, and just talking about prayer of all things, and we're driving back down, and we're praying probably for 10 hours going back. And I just, you know, my second cousin, some distant relative, I don't know what it was. I know him, Ronnie. He's like, hey, why don't you guys go speak at our church? And so I just remember we were praying for Las Cruces, New Mexico, and we began to pray. And I'm like, God, what do you want to share? And I just remember him saying the same thing. He said, just share the promises I've given you. It's just kind of a flashback. And you know, I just remember God really just showed up in that particular moment. And some things he plans, God just breathes on his word. And some things God just in the moment does. And that was an in the moment type of thing. And I really think the walk away from tonight is a greater sense of faith. And not just a general sense of faith, but specific faith in your heart. And so I remember the Lord asking me one time in prayer, he said, Matt, do you want to disciple a generation or do you want to father a generation? I'm like, God, it's hard enough to disciple one person. It's hard enough to do it well. And I remember him responding to me. He said, Matt, if you connect them to my heart, I myself will disciple them. There's some things that if you teach them in Christianity, 100 good things and right things. But if they're not connected to my heart, Matt, there's something that's gravely missing. But when you connect them to my heart, Matt, and it's time and season when they're really listening, all these other things will come along. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. So it would only make sense that if we seek first the king of the kingdom, that we start there and all these other things will be added. And so I feel like maybe God would be saying to you, do you want to disciple a generation? Do you want to father a generation who needs it? And how do you do it? Well, connect them to the heart of your Father. Develop a heart for God. Allow him to develop a heart in you. And speak from that place. Minister from that place. Know that place. And obviously, he wouldn't say it if he didn't have that heart. It's just a challenge to allow God to deeper work his heart for you. I remember a man named Paul Goulet was ministering at our church. He has a church in Las Vegas, of all places. And I remember he called us. He did some prophetic stuff. We fasted for 10 days as a church going into it. And we had evening prayer services praying. And their church was fasting there in Las Vegas. And I remember it was powerful. He talked about the power of God. And, you know, a lot of the things we like to see happen. But he did one thing. And during one of the services, and he says, God wants to encounter you personally. You come up to the altar and you ask God and let him speak to you. Nobody's going to lay hands on you. And I remember probably 17 years old, come forward. And I remember kneeling down and I looked at the, just the, where you plug in a cord. And it was just so simple. And he's like, Matt, I'm going to plug in a generation to my power. It was super, super simple, but it stuck with me. And every now and then I'll look at where you plug in the cords and that promise will flash to my mind. Matt, I told you I'd plug a generation into my heart and into my power, which are fairly similar, but I feel like those connection points are, we're conduits. He speaks that to us to bring faith, but he speaks that to us so that we can be challenged to say, God, you want to connect a heart. This is your higher will. You want to show them your glory. You want to release your faith. You want to make me a conduit, make me a plug and a connection between the two, and let your Holy Spirit flow. I can't make him flow. I can't. That's your power inside those plugs, but I want to plug them in right now. And he'll provide the power. But we have to make the connection. We have to make relationships. We have to have the desire. We have to go take the time and quite simply, in whatever way God asks, allow God opportunity. And that's the simple part. That's the faith part. That's the risk part. Believing God will show up in whatever way he has. I believe that one promise God would love you to believe for is to believe for the orphans of Douglas and to believe you for the fatherless in this area, whatever that would mean, probably particularly children, that you would make a dent and an impact with the heart of the Father, and that God would, just like he gives you children in Mexico, that he would give you children here locally, impact with them, and he would provide a way. And I feel like he just wants to nurture and cultivate that, and you'll see connection points. He'll give you that. But I really feel like he wants to give you the children of Douglas as your inheritance, and that would be something very close to his heart. And if there's one thing close to Jesus' heart, one people group in general, it's children, but also the least sought after. And so he must be very close to his heart if he would want to give you children. So I really felt like going in tonight, one is it would be a point of worship, and two is it would be a prayer meeting. And we later tonight I want to pray for some of the native peoples there. And Jesus says in his word, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he sends out laborers, for the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. And that there's a connection between harvest and our prayers. And we may not be many in this room tonight, but before the Father, we have his attention. And we could have a sea of people here who are not connected to God, and it would make no difference. But we have the ear of heaven. And when we pray, God honors his words to send out laborers. That I believe that there are angels all around this room that are more than in number than we are in people. But God just requires faith, and he requires the heart of his people. John Wesley said, I believe God does nothing in the earth except through prayer. And he was an evangelist. He wasn't just a prayer guy. He was a people guy, desiring God to bring salvation and reformation and awakening. But at least his personal opinion was that God really did things in the earth practically and spiritually through his life of intercession. And I believe some of the promises that we'll pray, and part of believing again, we'll be praying the promises of God for those people on the board right there, for the people here in Douglas, and just allowing God to flow in that way. I don't want it to be just another prayer meeting, but I really feel like tonight is connected to harvest. Tonight is connected to impact. Tonight is connected to destiny. Tonight is connected to that. And I believe God will provide the grace to do that. Some prayer meetings I go into and I don't feel grace. Tonight I think there's grace for it. So Father, before we move forward, I just release faith in this room. Where the evil one comes to steal, kill, and destroy, I say you come to give life and life more abundantly. You come to give life for their hearts. You come not only to speak to them at a distance, but speak to them up close and personally. You don't want only them to have life, but to minister life. Jesus, you want to walk into Douglas. You want to walk into the city. And no matter what people say in Douglas, no matter what people say around the world, no matter what people say, Jesus, you were born in Bethlehem. You were born in a small town. You were born. And I say, let your purposes be born in a smaller town, in the corner of our state. Let them find that Jesus has significant plans to a people who are not unseen, that are not unheard, that they're very close to you, and you very much care. And believe again. Be challenged. Jeremiah 29:10 says that when I send you to captivity, I'm going to send you to captivity for 7 years. But then it says, but I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. And it was in a point of seeming judgment, in a point of captivity, that God said, I have plans for you. It was in a place of barrenness and seeming death in Simeon Desolation that God said, I know the plans that I have for you. It was in a place where they didn't see it. In fact, it seemed like it was going backward at that time. But I know the plans that I have for you. And then it says, and then you'll seek my face. And when you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. You will be found by me. And it goes on to say in Jeremiah 33:3, that when you call out to me, I'll show you great and mighty things you have not known. And so part of God's favor is you're going to pray to me with all your heart, and I'm going to answer your prayers. And it's such an intimate thing. In John 15:16-17, it says that when you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. And different parts of the passage say, this is the glory of the Father, this is to my glory, that you would ask anything in my name, and I would do it. I would do it. That your hearts would not be discouraged, I'll do it. That I might be glorified, I'll do it. And there's something between our asking God for something that we discern to be his will and it happening in life and in our generation. And believe again. Where you felt like, man, your own sin in your life, where your own problems in life, where your own mistakes have disqualified you, believe that God's grace is bigger. Believe that Jesus' blood is powerful enough to cleanse you, and that it's not based on your own merit, but on his righteousness and what he's done for you. Where you're on the back burner and life catches up with you and you have kids and you have church things, believe again that just because you're busy and just because there's details of life, he can't use you significantly. Believe again. I just feel like part of the big picture is, I spoke on Dave Barton's radio show a while back. He talks about God's plan for America and how we were established. I spoke a few weeks ago at Victory in Tucson at a men's breakfast, and I wish I would have brought the quote with me. But it was the pilgrims who came over, and they dedicated the land to Jesus. And they said, God, as long as those who live here, God, may they join in our covenant with you in future generations of our partnership. We dedicate this land to the furtherance of the gospel from this generation forward. And I believe God's plan for America, at least in part, is that the gospel of Jesus Christ would permeate and go from one coast to the other. But more than that, that it literally said, an evangelist to the nations. That we would be a gospel-saturated America, and that the nations would receive from us. And we saw that for hundreds of years. And that we need health to send out healthily. But God wants us to have a heart for missions. He wants us to have a heart for nations that the gospel of Jesus Christ can transform. And he wants to do it locally, and he wants to do it beyond that. And Benjamin Franklin, who people call a deist, was quoted to say by President John Adams. He said that Benjamin Franklin stood up during the Continental Congress and said, have we forgotten our friend? Have we forgotten our powerful friend who has helped us? How many times we cried out to him, many times we called out to him, and he answered us in providence. And have we become too proud? Have we become so blessed that we have forgotten this friend? And we're looking for all these sources. We're studying history of the constitutions of other nations. And we're coming up high and dry, and we can't agree. But he's like, I beg you to consider the fact that if a sparrow could not fall to the ground without God's notice, can a nation rise without his aid? Let us therefore pray. And they hosted daily prayer meetings, praying for the Constitution to be drafted and praying for our nation. And if God would honor it and they could come to a place of unity where there's only disagreement, is God not still speaking to honor the covenant of the pilgrims and to honor the prayers of our founding fathers as imperfect people as some of them, all of them may have been? And is God not still remembering? I had a dream probably 2 years ago in which I was handed a microphone. Lou Engel hands me a microphone in the dream. And there's a prayer meeting and Eddie James is dancing around. It's so random. But in the dream, we're about to pray for America in the dream. And all of a sudden, I start speaking, and I'm like, why do I have a mic? And this isn't about America. This isn't about our heart to pray for America. This is about God's heart. He's hearing the prayers of our fathers. He's praying, hearing the prayers of other generations. He's hearing the prayers of Wesley. He's hearing the prayers of many others, and he will be faithful. This is the other side of the coin. This isn't just us desiring for God to do something in America. This is God himself desiring in America. There's no hope if he doesn't desire to do it, but there's hope in him desiring our nation. And you might be in Douglas, and you might not be in New York, and you might not be Los Angeles, and you might not be Phoenix, and you might not be Tucson. Some people would rejoice at that. But you might not be all these other things, but you have the ear of heaven and you're a part of something much bigger than yourself, bigger than America, and bigger than who's alive. This is the plan of God to share the gospel with the nation from shore to shore, and anyone can be involved. He's looking for laborers, and he's looking for prayer warriors who'll pray in the harvest. He's looking for it. It's always taken a few. It's always been handfuls. It was 12 in the beginning, then 11, then 12 again. It's always been a few. The church was birthed in a small group. There's just a few hundred, 120 in the upper room. I mean, 120 to change world history, 120 people, that's nothing. 120 is nothing. Think about it. 2,000 years later, the gospel has landed on the clear other side of the world here in Arizona. 2,000 years later, and we've heard of Jesus, and we want to see more of him. But that a Jewish people would begin to share the gospel, and it would make its way over here, and that there would be billions of Christians, even if not all of them are fully connected, billions of Christians in the world. Like Jesus is winning, and the enemy wants to make it seem like he's winning. Like the enemy wants to make himself like he's an intimidator. He comes, like even in your worship times, you're having a glorious time, and he comes with flashes of intimidation of what he'll do, or reminding you of all the sin in your life, and God will convict, but the enemy will condemn, and he'll say, you can't be used because. And I would say that the Holy Spirit will convict you of righteousness, of why you can be used because of what Jesus has done. He'll convict you, he'll lead you to repentance from, but he'll lead you to repentance too. And I think, like Isaiah 6, God is still calling out amongst the Godhead, whom shall I send? Whom shall I send? Whom shall I send? And we can overhear the conversation tonight saying, God send me. God use me. God use little old me. I might be 20, I might be 20 at heart. But God use me. God use me. Believe again. And as we believe, interceding, saying, God, you said you would do this. Don't be content with what you've seen. Don't be content as if what's in the past is the greatest that we've ever had. Don't believe that God is greater yesterday than today and tomorrow. Don't believe that just the stories of revival are enough. God has a greater story. The latter rain would be greater than the former rain. And I'm not going to say too much more than that. But if you find yourself discouraged tonight, I want you to say, God is saying to you, believe again. God is saying to you, have faith. God is saying to you, lay hold of me and let me lay hold of you. God is saying tonight, my blood is enough, but will you follow me? My blood is enough, but will you let me revive you? My blood is enough, but will you let me use you? In Isaiah 53, it talks about the suffering servant. It talked about what Jesus had done. But it said that Jesus would be satisfied with the labor or the travail of his soul. Jesus would be satisfied. And so what that means is if I buy something, if I buy a big screen TV or buy a house, I'm not satisfied by putting a down payment on it and shoving money that way. I'm satisfied by getting what I paid for. And so Jesus isn't satisfied by paying the price. He's satisfied by getting what he paid for. In Psalm chapter 2, it says this, the Father looks at the Son and he says, ask of me the nations and I'll give them to you as your inheritance. He's asking Jesus, even Jesus has to pray, give me the nations. And you know how he'll do that? He'll do that through his people. In the Beatitudes, it says, blessed are the meek, for they'll inherit the earth. And Jesus is our example. How does Jesus inherit the earth? Well, he asks for the nations. He, in a sense, prays. How do we get to inherit the nations? Well, we pray. How does Jesus ride in? He rides in upon his body, the body of Christ. He's not a head apart from a body. God's anointing's on your life. If Jesus is the anointed one, the Christ, the anointed one, well, then it would only make sense that when people encounter us, his body, that when they touch us, they're touching him because we're part of his body. When they touch us, they touch the anointing of Christ because we're not disconnected from the head of the body. We're not disconnected. We're God's anointed people. We're Christians. We're little Christ. We're God's anointed ones, going with his message. Not anointed to do other than his will, but anointed to do his will. Isaiah 61. That the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to open prison doors to those who are bound, to pronounce the year of Jubilee and judgment on the Lord's enemy, to comfort all who mourn in Zion. To give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for a spirit of despair, And then it goes on to say that you'd be called oaks of righteousness for the display of God's splendor, and that you'd rebuild ancient ruins, former desolations of long ago. And it continues that God would minister to us, that God would heal us, that God's presence would rest on us. But his anointing doesn't stop there. His anointing makes us oaks. His anointing makes us sturdy and grounded and firm. When winds come, when rains come, when trials of life come, that we're steady. And when people are looking for shelter, when people are looking for shade and rest and comfort, that they would be able to come to our lives and come around us and find that. And then it doesn't stop there. Though we were broken, though we were just in despair, though we were broken, though we're in prison, at least emotionally or spiritually, though we were over here, God says, you're going to rebuild ancient ruins, former desolations of long ago. Though that's what you were, I don't want to stop at just ministering to you. I want to use you as agents of healing and of transformation. So as the Spirit of the Lord is on me, Jesus said, you can continue and infer, now it's you. And then they'll come to your rising, and foreigners will come from afar because of what I do through your life. He's not only into healing us, he's into using us from a place of wholeness, a place of stability and a place of rest. Isaiah 60, the chapter before, says, arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory of God has risen on you. Though darkness covers the earth and deep darkness the people, behold, the glory of the Lord shall be seen on your face, and they'll come to the brightness of your rising. And yes, that's Jesus Christ in his person. And yes, that's the church of the living God rising up. God's glory on our faces, God's presence, God's touch, God's miracles, God's wisdom to the deepest and darkest places. Though darkness covers Douglas, deep darkness its people, and people can feel it and people can see it, but they'll come to the brightness of the Church of Douglas rising up to meet me and to meet the needs. Even in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that even God will declare his wisdom to principalities and powers through his church. How does God declare wisdom? He uses us. And where Adam fell, he uses us. He's like, look, they may have fallen, but I'm going to take a fallen people, redeem them through the blood of Jesus, and use humans to follow me and surrender to me and to accomplish my purpose and my will. They may have been broken, but Satan, they're going to overcome you, and I'll crush them. I'll crush you under their feet. Says in Romans. It says in Romans 8 as an encouragement. My phone will load. One of my favorite chapters. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, Jesus, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also give us graciously all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it he who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, or trials of life, I'll add? As it is written, for your sake we're all being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who has loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. We might be being martyred, Paul could say. We might be being put to the sword, but the gospel of Jesus Christ will go forth through his church. We might be being put to death, but I'm telling you, God's purpose will be advanced, and nothing will prevent that. Don't forget who you are in his essence, he might be saying. Don't forget what Christ has done. Don't forget the blood. Don't forget that the Father gave his Son for this cause to redeem mankind. And he wants to do it through you and I. And we might go to hell and back in this life, but he will advance his purpose. This is about the Father. This is about the Son. This is about his plan from ages past, before time began. And he created you and I for this reason. We fit in the plan of God by his sovereignty in this day and this hour for a reason. You were born not by accident, and you weren't just born for you. You were born to decree and to walk in the glory of God. In your family, in your marriage, in your future family marriage, and in your workplace, and on all of that. And God is not done. And God will not relent until he has what he paid for. This is about him. And in this being about him, this is about us. He has triumphed. He has prevailed. Like Revelation 4 and 5 talks about, Revelation 5, that Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, has prevailed. He has triumphed. He is on the throne. He is not afraid. He does have the keys of Hades and death and hell. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. And he says, lo unto you, I say, go ye and go make disciples of all nations. You go and make disciples of all nations. I have all authority, but I send you. It's the same thing like I think I said yesterday, the day before, that God says, I am coming down to save Israel. I am coming down myself. And I say, Moses, you go. I have all authority in heaven and earth, but I tell you, go. You go. You go in authority. You go in majesty. You go in my name. You go. You go. You go. I remember God speaking to me one time, Matt, hell will hate you, but heaven will have you. Hell will hate you, but heaven will have you. You might be persecuted. You might feel spiritual resistance at times. You might feel all of that. Hell may hate your marriage, and you might feel it sometimes, but heaven will have you. I will win in your life. I will make a way where there seems to be no way. I will show up in the deepest and hardest moments of your life. And more than that, I will provide opportunity for me to be made known through your life, because this is what I told you. And so, worship team, one of you, just if you want to go up solo, break every chain. We'll do break every chain. But I just want to begin to pray. And I want to pray for you first, but then I just want us to pray together. And Father, I just want to thank you. You have a plan in this hour, in this day, and you are not afraid. You're not afraid of the media. You're not afraid of terrorists. You're not afraid of traffickers or cartels. You're not afraid. Your eyes are like a flame of fire. And before you, nations fall and nations rise, God, before you. Saul of Tarsus bows his knee before you, and you transform the hardest of hearts. Before you, John hits the dust, God, as one is as a dead man. You are holy, and you are glorious, and you are majestic, and you are praiseworthy, and you have a plan, and you have a will, and you're not second than, you're not lesser than, you're not losing in our day, in our hour. The enemy is a liar and a father of all lies, but you are true. So God, I claim your generation. I've got your promise for my generation. God, I claim that, God, you would plug in a generation to the heart of the Father who will not relent for his children. God, I believe you're doing something epic and unheard of in our generation, that if you would have told us, we would not have believed it. And I say, God, let faith arise in this room and let our eyes look to the King of glory, to the eyes of the King of heaven, the champion of heaven, who forever and ever and ever and ever will reign unchallenged. No competition. Let us see the sturdiness in your eyes, that you yourself are like an oak of righteousness. You yourself are steady and firm. You yourself are unmoved by those who hate you. God, the enemy is afraid of you. Demons flee at your name. Hell trembles at your authority. Hell trembles at your people. The enemy is afraid of our lives because of who you are in us. And I say, God, something of fear of the evil one, fear of what the enemy can or would want to do, let it begin to fall to the ground as the presence of your Spirit arises. Let the lies of, if you go out all out, you'll be burnt out, let that fall to the ground. Let the wisdom of God be in enter our hearts, that you will refresh us as we follow you, that we're your sheep and you're going to take care of us as we follow hard after you. God, I pray that you'd be to take darts of slander, darts of word curses spoken over us by intimate friends, for following you. Let it begin to be taken out, God. And let wounds begin to heal. Father, I pray that you would begin to highlight areas where you want to strengthen right now. You begin to highlight promises where we've dropped the ball, where we grew discouraged, where we just merely forgot. I pray that the fire of your Spirit would begin to rise and say, I told you and I am faithful to accomplish it. That in your flesh it's impossible, but by my Spirit it is possible. God, we ask you that you'd make us the hinge of history, that you'd make us ones who speak your word, God, and changes things, that you'd make us prophets in our day by whatever title. Where the day is dark and the word of the Lord is rare, like in the days of Samuel, that you would make us Samuels who hear your voice and none of our words fall to the ground. God, where people are saying, is God real? We cry out to you, God, give us life and impact in their lives. Give us the heathen as our inheritance, God. Give us those who are just wondering. God, if you're real, show up. Make us, God, your messengers of love and truth and anointing to their lives. God, we cry out to you, Lord, that our lives would not be about us. We're going to go die. We're going to go to heaven forever with you. But God, we call out in our generation, make your name known. God, hear the prayers of centuries before us and hear the heart of those pilgrims who prayed that the gospel of Jesus Christ would go forward in America, God, for as long as it should live, God, that the gospel of Jesus Christ would go from shore to shore. In this land, in Douglas, Arizona, and all of Arizona, let the gospel of Jesus in power and in truth be preached. Let the heart of your church awaken to say that your gospel has power to transform lives, transform communities, transform families. Let faith arise in your people, God, today. That you're not done with America. You're not done with Douglas. You're not done with your church. We are not irrelevant to your purpose, God. We're not too old. We're not too young. We're not off timing. We're in the middle of something much more sovereign. So Jesus, there's power in your name. And we say, lift the blinders from our eyes. Anoint our eyes with eye salve, God, and give us eyes to see. Where we feel the resistance of the evil one and we feel the oppression, we say, heaven have us, God. Let your angelic host begin to minister in this room, Jesus. I mean, to minister over our families and minister over the full extent and reaches of the ministries, even now, God. God, that we would not slow. That we would not quit. That we would not grow weary in doing good, God. And it's season that you'll reward it. And so, Father, I thank you. I just hear you saying, don't give up, don't give in, don't quit. Don't stop, don't grow weary. I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming. Don't believe the lie. Don't stop, don't quit. Be faithful. so my wife reminded me that Julie Meyer had a dream, and in the dream she saw the church, the saints, in an ambulance, and they were so discouraged. And there's, what's that?
Okay, so Julie Meyer had a dream that she was at an emergency scene, and there were like 100, 200, 300 ambulances, and it's nighttime, and she's like, what happened? So she runs to one ambulance, and there's a saint, a Christian, in there, lying there, and there's an EMT next to him, and she climbs, and she's like, what happened? What happened? And her heart is breaking, and the EMT is an angel, and the saint is laying in bed, flatlined. And as the angel starts telling stories of revival to the saint, the heart starts beating again in the saint. And so she goes from one ambulance to the other, watching these EMT angels reviving the hearts of the saints through stories of revival. And I just felt the Lord want to tell you guys, like, the promises that he's giving you, they're life and death that you do not give up. It's life and death that you do not give up on these promises that God has for you, that he's spoken to you, because these are stories of revival that will revive the hearts of the saints for future generations. So the promises that God is giving you guys in your families, for you personally, it's not just for you to see God working, but it's for future generations to remember who God is.
And so know the significance. When you don't give up, you don't give in. It's life and death for others. And so, Father, I thank you for that word and that thought of remembrance. And I pray that you'd be to send revival in this room and in the hearts, God, and that you'd be to plant seeds of future awakenings, God, that will matter, that will matter to future days to come. God, I just declare today in a common agreement that you are doing a significant work in their lives, and that you're going to break out, God. You're going to break in ways that people could not believe here in Douglas. And others will come from the border and from here over the border to say, God is doing incredible works and we must come. And I just come in agreement, Lord, that you're doing something in the heavenlies right now, and that something is beginning to open. Father, we pray for fresh testimonies of your faithfulness in this land. I pray that pastors would begin to unite and to gather and to believe you again and begin to share stories of what you are doing, what you have done. I begin to pray into it, God. I declare right now, God, that you are beginning to unite your people in Douglas, Arizona. And you're going to unite the purpose of local impact and local discipleship and national, international discipleship. That you're going to marry the two visions. They're not separate. They're one vision, God. I just thank you, God. Let the gospel go forward. In Jesus' name. So, Father, we thank you. Just thank you, Lord. Begin to pray. Lord, make Douglas, God, a light to the nations. Make it a light to the nations, God, that shines brightly. Say, shine brightly, God, in the church of Douglas. Let your glory be on their face. Let others come to the brightness of their rising, God. As they worship you, as they seek you, as they obey you, God, let many come from afar to the brightness of their rising. One day, God, that thousands of people would flock, your missionaries from around the world, to what God is doing here. International headlines, God. I say what God is doing in Douglas. What God is doing in Douglas is phenomenal. The small town would swell, God. Bless the nations, God. Bless the nations, God, through this place. May it be a well of healing. May it be a well of refreshing. May it be a well of the glory and the grace of God to come and to go. May those who stop through, just like Calvin and Barbara saying, that people stop through, just missionaries through their house to eat or grab coffee. May people stop through Douglas being blessed and refreshed on their journey. May they be welcoming to those travelers and those people who come. May there be a love, God, for many nationalities and ethnicities one day. May in years ahead, God, as immigrants come, may the Church of Jesus Christ love them to life and welcome them with open arms. Provide resources to do this, God. Love you, Lord. I just want to open up the mic and just say, let's be in a grief in prayer for Douglas. Whatever God lays on your heart, you could be pray for the youth, you could pray for the church, you can pray for faith and ministries, but let's pray for Douglas. So.
Aaliyah, would you come and join Matt? And I want all of us tonight to come up and surround them. I want us to just all come up and surround them with prayer and support. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to know, Matt, that so many of the things you've said just confirmed in my heart that we're on the right track. And over the last several years, and specifically the last several months, we've had a lot of nuggets of truth that have come forth from our pulpit, and we've reached our faith into the things of God and spoken prophetically a lot of things. And sometimes the people look at you like, I don't get that. I never heard that before. But we're compelled to say things sometimes by the Holy Spirit. And so many things that the Lord has said through our ministry team here, you've repeated those things. You've said the same things. And it really encourages my heart, because we want to be on the right track. And it's nice to have you come, so to speak, from the outside, from a different viewpoint, a different perspective, and see what God's plan is for us here. And you've encouraged me. I just want to thank you for that. And I want all of us to just come up close and lay hands on them, and I want to encourage them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you for bringing Matt and Aaliyah into our lives. Lord, we believe it's a God thing. We believe it's God ordained. We believe your will was for them to be a part of our lives and for us to be a part of their lives. And Lord, we want it to continue. We want it to grow. We want it to flourish. We want our relationship to them to just get richer and richer and sweeter and sweeter. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you'll open doors of opportunity for them. Lord, there's so much quality when it comes, Lord, to the revelation knowledge of the Word of God. And when it comes to the revelation knowledge of what you're doing in the earth, there's so much quality of ministry, Lord. here that Matt and Aaliyah have been exposed to, and they're participating in, Lord, a quality of ministry that's being confirmed all over the earth about the great move of the Holy Spirit that is just gaining momentum. And Lord, we are excited to be a part of it. Sometimes we feel alone here and we feel like it's just us. But Lord, it's not just us. We're just one cell in a huge body. We're just one cell in a huge body, Lord. And your complete and huge body, your awesome body, is just changing the world, turning this world upside down for Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that we get to be a part of that, that we get to do our part. And Lord, pray, Lord, that we'll always be encouraged and always encourage one another to do our part, to be faithful at our station, faithful at our post, faithful to the job, to the calling that you've called us to do. Or we're not called to do something that someone else is doing. We're called to do what you want us to do here. And Lord, we just thank you for it. We thank you for bringing Matt and Aaliyah into our lives. We thank you for increasing their ministry and increasing, Lord, their relationship with other people, other churches, other ministers who are on the same wavelength spiritually, on the same faith link spiritually. Lord, in Jesus' name, just let the revelation knowledge and those beautiful nuggets of truth and revelation continue to flow through them. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you so very much. So very much. Bless them, 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 bless them. And Lord, it's just so beautiful, Lord, even on the natural scene, as we see, Lord, there's 3 months and a day of matrimony, Lord, and the beauty of the honeymoon. So obvious, so beautiful. And we just believe in Jesus' name, the honeymoon will continue for 1,000 years and a day. In Jesus' name, this honeymoon will continue for 1,000 years and a day. And you will be an example to others as to how God can use two people in love with Jesus in the same heart. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing great and mighty things. Great and mighty things. Great and mighty things, Lord, in their lives. Thank you for doing great and mighty things in Douglas, Arizona. Lord, I can remember some years back, Lord, I can remember close to 30 years back when Douglas, Arizona had so little going on in the Spirit. So few churches that were serving God and walking in the Spirit. But Lord, today we've got numerous strong churches in Douglas where people are getting born again and saved and healed and delivered and transformed. Lord, you've done a great thing just in the time of history that I have participated in Douglas. Lord, you've done many great and wonderful things here. We just thank you that we get to be a part of it. And Lord, we thank you that we get to be connected internationally. Lord, through those other ministers and ministries, Lord, that work with us, Lord, and that we work with. Lord, we get to be connected internationally through ministers like Matt and Aaliyah, Lord, that help us make contact in other places with other people. We get to be, Lord, internationally connected. And we just thank you so much. We thank you so much.
Hi, Matt had asked us to all come as the Spirit moves us and pray for Douglas. Let's just stay here, and we're just going to pass the mic around, and you pray for your what God is putting on your heart. And when you spoke about, you know, in Mexico, a big part of our ministry has been reaching out in evangelism to children, sponsoring the Christmas programs and the VBS programs, and that's been a whole lot of what we've done. And when you said that we are to reach the fatherless here in Douglas, there's so many children without a father, a godly father figure. God, I don't even know where we're to start, but I just hear this as Jesus saying, cast your net on the other side. I just thank you, Lord, for all of the children that need a godly father in their life that need the Father God in their life, Father, and we can take and give them the Father God. And Lord, we just thank you that you will, as you're saying, cast your net on the other side, that we will hear and be in the right place at the right time, and that you'll bring us contact with children that need the love of the Father God. Thank you, Lord, for the divine contacts, the divine hearing, the voice of the Lord day by day by day. Oh, Kalamashe, that we will cast out our net to these children without a father. Oh, Holeshe, we thank you, Lord, for Balaneashe, Labahai, for explosions of your glory and your power that will draw men to the power of God, that will draw children. Ola Karindo Rashe, we thank you, Lord, for signs and wonders and miracles happening in Douglas, Arizona, that will get the attention of the people and draw them to you, Father. We just thank you for that. We thank you, Jesus. Ora me asho alebene obanai alede bodaine buanane ayono no beniai eloramanai alaramoshaneni ayoromandei. We thank you, Lord. Ola raimbe oyalanamai, for bringing down the walls, the bringing down the walls between your people. We ask for a spirit of unity among the born again Christians in this place, that religious bondages will fall off, that walls will fall down, that we will love and serve one another. Oh, and we will have a heart, oh, for the other churches, the other Christians, that we will have a heart, a servant's heart, one toward another. Oh, la rinda mashe, that we will promote the kingdom of God and not our own individual kingdoms, that we will promote you and your glory and your power and your kingdom and your authority. For only you are worthy of the praise. Only you are worthy of the glory. Oh, la rinde bohai aleme aharunashi. Holy, 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 barisha la ramianda yoramone, olane ai bohane ai she, lana moane, lenion de ribinindo ramaniai, olane miai ono, alame he, omane ai hamoaya he, oile me, amoaya lane, olamoaya she, eloyane. Father, tonight, birth intercession in our hearts. Birth a spirit of intercession. Birth a spirit. Oh, birth a travail of the spirit that will bring forth, oh, Kaleshe, the move of the Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Birth it, birth it, birth it in us, that we will travail, that Zion will travail till she bring forth. Oh, La Rashe. Somebody else has a prayer. Karayoshe. Elarabahai, something in your heart. Something in your heart. Aramoayashe, coming out of your spirit. Oh, Larame. Atunoshe. Laramanai, Aramone. Elaramunai, Alane. Adabanoai, Ane. Lanamoai, Alane. Alamoai, Aliando, Riamene, Omomayashe. Ela bohalia she la ramoya ne te onoko. Father, we thank you for birthing in our hearts courage, courage, courageous, a courageous abai. Oh no, a spirit of courage, a spirit of the courageous. Oh, that we will go forth and that we will obey your voice, that we will go forth with the power of God in our day-to-day lives, that we will reach out and speak your word of life, that we will be bold, that we will be bold, bold, bold with the power of the Holy Ghost to speak for you.
Lord, I pray that you send leaders into the school, you rise up leaders into the school, Lord, that will fear you, that will listen to you, Lord, that will hear your voice and know your voice, Lord. I rise up leaders in the school, Lord. Yes, Lord, bring those dry bones, those dying bones back. Bring them back to life and bring them back together. Rising up those bones, Lord. Rise up those leaders, Lord. Rise up those leaders, Lord.
Father, I pray, Lord, you help us to take our place, take our rightful place in this community, Father. Help us, Lord, as the body of Christ, to take the place that you have assigned us to, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have given us authority. You have given us influence, Father. I thank you, Lord, that lives are going to be changed one relationship at a time, Father. I thank you, Lord, that this community is going to be changed because there is prayer planted here, Lord. Father, that there are people who are willing to step out. Father, people who are willing to step out of their boxes, step out of their worlds, step out of the places they're most comfortable, Lord, and go out and reach those that are right around them, Father. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are stirring up on the inside of us the desire, Lord, to connect with our community, Father. To connect with the families, with the children, with our co-workers, Father. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we are influencers. You said, Paul had written in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Be transformed. Father, I thank you, Lord, that same transforming that happens in our mind, we have the ability to transform, Father, this community. We're called to be ambassadors. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have given us the tools, the words. You've given us the Holy Spirit to be ambassadors to this community, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you are equipping us for your work. So this community is changed, Father, one life at a time, Father. I thank you, Lord, that people's hearts are going to be drawn to you. They're going to be drawn to your people. Just as moths are to lights, Father, I thank you, Lord, that people of this community are going to be drawn to those who are shining your light, Father. It's going to be irresistible, Lord. They're not going to be able to stay away from it. Father, I thank you, Lord, that others will be drawn to your body. Those that don't know you are going to be curious to know why these people are different, what they have. Father, I thank you, Lord, for that courageous spirit of courage and boldness that will come out of each one of us, Father, that may not have known that was on the inside of us, Father. And I thank you, Lord, it will come out of us, and it will be the Holy Spirit that comes out of us, Father. Your Holy Spirit is the one who changes lives. Your Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the words to speak. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we are going to depend on your Holy Spirit now more than we ever have for the right words when you give us the opportunities. Thank you, Lord.
Father, thank you for the flow of your spirit in the streets in Douglas. Father, I thank you that every person that lives in Douglas, Lord, that goes to a church, that they will be obedient to your voice, Lord, that they will be sensitive to go and give, Lord, whatever you bring to their lives. If it's the word, if it's a smile, whatever it may be, Lord, that we can bring that blessing to others, Father, that they can be drawn to you, Father, that we can change this city with your spirit, that we can walk in your freedom, that we can move in your freedom and in your liberty, Father, that we can be sensitive to your voice and just go and give what you are, Father, to others. And that we can move in you, Father, and that we can start to see miracles and the transformation that you want to bring upon this city. Thank you, Father, that your fire starts to stir up in every person, Father, that knows you, that won't just stay quiet, but that they will come out, that they will come out and with your spirit and impact the lives of other people. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your movement, your movement.
Lord, I ask you to bless Matt and Leah and to fulfill them always with all your love. Thank you for bringing them and show us that strength and showing us that simple way that you are. Ever since last night and today, I've been learning so much from them, Lord Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to really give us that next level, that strength. I could see the hunger in every school. I could see every day that kids need you, Lord. Use me, Lord. You know my heart. You know my family, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to please keep blessing us and keep blessing this church. In the name of Jesus.
Father, this evening I would like to thank Mia and Matt. Thank you for the refreshness they brought to us this weekend. Thank you for the blessing they are to my family, to my wife and to me. And thank you, Jesus, for everything that we learned this weekend. And make us be a father figure for the kids that don't have a father. And guide me and provide me knowledge so I can be one. So be to set an example for a lot of kids that I know that need a father figure. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, I pray for boldness. Boldness for the adults. Boldness for the kids. Boldness for the community and the Christians inside Douglas. Father, the teachers that are in the schools, I pray for them, I lift them up. The spirit of boldness just to rise in them, to be examples, to be mentors, to lead the children and the teens to where they're supposed to be in life. A godly example. I cover them in your blood. Prepare their hearts as they prepare for school. Prepare their minds, prepare their bodies. Thank you, Jesus, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the covering. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Parashantes.
Do you guys want to confess some of the promises God has given you over the years and just kind of pronounce them as promises?
We want to have them confess promises that the Lord has given them for this church and for Douglas, any ministry you guys have. And we want to, as a church, contend for you guys and stand with you and agree in those promises.
Well, For years and years and years, we've worked in Mexico and we've worked here, and the things that we've put our hand to in Mexico, it's like there's just been a flow. And it's like Douglas has been our hardest mission ground. It's like we've just met resistance and resistance. When we first started our church on 9th Street in 1990, and we had a minister from Haiti come, and he had been in a lot of spiritual warfare, and he was in the capital of witchcraft, and we asked him. He had preached at Roots Brock's in the morning. He'd come to preach for us, and he was standing up there, and he got up to preach, and he just mumbled and mumbled for a few minutes, and he handed the mic back to Calvin, and he says, "I can't do anything." He says, "I have never met stronger evil spirits in Haiti than I've met here in Douglas. I couldn't even speak because of the stronghold." And there has been a real strong, it's like this has been our hardest mission field, Douglas has. And yet in my spirit, for many, many years, I have seen such a powerful move of God in this place that at least 90% of the people are saved and filled with the Spirit and pumping for God. I have seen just a mighty move of God, a transformation in this town. And I have seen it just go all over the town. And that the churches aren't big enough to receive all the harvest that's coming in. And there's going to be the competition between the churches is just going to fall down. And it's just going to be for God's glory, for God's kingdom. We're building God's kingdom. And each church is going to have their special assignments and their special things. And God has showed us that there's going to be a mighty move of His Spirit in this church, and that healing was just going to flow like a river, and people were going to come and come and come and come and receive miraculous healings. And I've just seen it in my spirit that there is going to be, that it's just going to be monumental, the things that God does in this place. That it's going to be, we've been hearing the word come forth that there's going to be a movement among the youth that's going to just dwarf the Jesus movement. And I believe that across our nation. And I believe it's going to happen here. I believe we have seen armies of young people rising up. We have seen the Spirit of the Lord falling in high school. And where children, kids were just being slain in the Spirit all over the place. And a teacher would get up to stop it, and they'd be slain in the Spirit too. You know, God is bigger than our, you know, than the systems. He's bigger. He's bigger, and He can do what He wants to do. And there's going to come a mighty move of His Spirit. Hallelujah. Orai kemoi shei lavanonai arebekei anohaya shei. And I see the churches. I just see that Douglas is going to be an example of churches just serving one another and loving one another, and that there's going to be a, what can I do for you? How can I serve you? How can I bless you? That we're going to love each other, you know, just as a servant. It's going to be a beautiful thing of how we operate. And we've seen how different churches are going to have their specialties, and that you would see someone with a particular need, and the other church may be what will meet their need. And we're going to say, God could meet your need better there. And there's going to be a placement, a desire to place people where they can receive what they need from God, and it's going to be okay. And all the churches are going to be full. All the churches are going to be blessed. that name the name of Jesus and that bow to his name. And I just feel it. I feel a rumbling in the spirit. I just feel it in my spirit. And what I see with my natural eyes, you know, it would discourage the flesh. And it would just, you know, just want to sit down and, you know, say, throw in the towel. But no, in my spirit, my spirit won't turn loose of it. It won't let go. It won't turn loose. It won't let go. It won't turn loose. It won't come let go because this is a God thing. It's a God thing. It's a God thing. It's a God thing. It's God's calling. It's God's heart. It's not my vision. It's God's vision. It's God's vision for this town, for this people. Oh, Lakai Shane of Ohana Shea. I have seen a ministry training center here that's going to send young people all over the world. I have seen as revival hits our youth, and I've seen this a long time before I heard the seven mountains. God is going to raise up young people from our community that's going to rise as political leaders, that's going to lead our nation. That's God's going to raise up scientists. That's God's going to raise up people of quality and talent and calling that will go into the medical field, that will go into the arts and entertainment. And God is going to make the young people that rise up in this town, He pours His Spirit out on this town to go into every mountain of society with a zeal to exalt Jesus as Lord of lords and King of kings. Hallelujah. Hoke shamo ande la ba frombari ande la ba kanoa she. Eba hano a te le shibano te la ba kanoa she. O la kani amahande la buane abahayale de bomashi. Ni o kai. And there's every once in a while, It rises up in me. It's time to go and travail. That when Zion travails, she'll bring forth. I know when we first moved to Douglas, and we didn't know anything about what was going on in Sonora, but God put a burden of prayer on my heart. And I would cry, and I would cry day and night. I would cry, and I would say, God, send people to those people, send messengers to those people that have never heard your name. And then we got out, and we started canvassing different areas. And in a 100-mile radius around Cumpas, 50 miles in every direction as the bird flies, but it covered a lot of space, there were like three churches that taught salvation. And now it's just every town, many churches in some towns. But we have seen the gospel explode in that area. We have seen it multiply and explode. God's word. And I believe it was because God put a travail in my heart. And then God began to put different areas in Mexico. And I would cry and I would weep. And you know, my girls would tell me, Mom, you don't have to cry to pray. Because I just cried. I cried. It was buckets of tears. And I feel that we are lacking a travail in Douglas to break forth into the victory and the calling that God has for here. And it's like I feel that need for going in travail, and then it's just like it backs off. And I you know, we just kind of bide our time. But I just was crying out to God, God, give me that travail now that I had for those towns then in Sonora. Give me that travail for Douglas. Let me travail. Because when Zion travails, she brings forth. And I don't know what has hindered the travail, but I know you can't manufacture it on your own. It's a calling. I couldn't stop praying. I couldn't stop praying. I couldn't stop crying. It wasn't something that I worked up. It was something of the Spirit. I could not help but cry and pray and cry out to God. And I'm just saying, God, why not now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not birthing that travail in us right now? For your purpose, for your plan to be accomplished here in Douglas. Because he does have a purpose and he does have a plan here. He has a heart. It's not my vision that I see. It's his vision that I see in my spirit. I know it is. I know it's the Father's heart. It's his vision. It's his call. But we have a part in it. I just say, God, why not now? Let's do it now. Let's start now. Let's get serious. Amen.
Well, are you ready for miracles? We're talking miracles here. Miracles are happening and going to need to happen. Amen. Okay. Well, before we let you go home, I want to share a miracle with you. For you who were here last night, you saw or met Pastor Jose Luis from Agua Prieta. I was ministering in his church, and his co-pastor came to me and said, we prayed for a man today that was demon-possessed. And they had went to this home where a man in his mid-20s was demon-possessed, and the family had him in the backyard in a cage. They had built a jail-type cage about 6 by 6, 2 meters by 2 meters, and he lived in the backyard in a cage. And you might think, that's pretty weird. Well, you got to remember, Mexico doesn't have all the benefits that we have here for taking care of sick people, okay? And so the family did the best they could with the money they had and the programs that they had, and they built a cage to contain their son so they could feed him, keep him alive. That's all they had. They did their best. Pastor says, we prayed for him and God set him free and he's coming to church tonight. And I went, he's coming to church tonight? The guy was in a cage, he's coming to church tonight? He said, yeah, he's coming to church tonight. So I'm there ministering and pretty soon the pastor said, there he is. He's coming in, they're right there. And this nice looking, well-dressed, cleaned up young man walks in. There's all these people following him. As the pastor invites him up and says, come up, young man, and give your testimony what God did for you today. So he comes up and they interview him for a couple of minutes and he tells him, you know, these guys prayed for me and, you know, the devil left me and God came in and everything's different now. Well, what about all these people? And he said, well, they're my family. When they saw what happened to me, they wanted to get saved and find the God that I found. And 17 people marched up behind the young man, knelt down at the altar, gave their hearts to Jesus. Because of one miracle, 17 people get born again. Plus the guy, 18 people get born again. I'm telling you, it's miracle time. We may not find a man in a cage, literally in Douglas, but there's a bunch of people here in Douglas in cages. Spiritually speaking, there's a bunch of them in cages. And you need to be ready, and I need to be ready to lay hands on them in the name of the Lord, because God's going to do miracles in their life, and 17 people in their family are going to say, I want that God. And they may come to this church, they may go to the one down on the corner, but they're going to find God, because somebody was willing and bold enough to do a miracle. Let's just do it this way. Let's all stand on our feet. Say these words, Father, I believe you can do anything. Nothing is impossible. I believe, and I can do anything in your name. And so I stand as a candidate to do miracles in the name of Jesus, to the glory of God, that the kingdom of God might be established in this city and that people might be set free in Jesus' name. Well, let's just do it. Be ready for anything. Because God can do anything. Keep in mind, we're going to be giving a love offering to Matt and Aaliyah. It's a needy and worthy cause. He's needy, she's worthy. So keep that in mind as you give tonight, if you haven't already. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. And I'm telling you guys, the fire's falling. The fire's falling. The baptistry is not going to be full of just water, but water and fire mingled together. Fire, 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 fire. Get on fire for Jesus. You'll be where the action's at. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Give Matt and Aaliyah great big hugs and kisses. Let them know they're appreciated. Amen.